Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hi, this is Jason Brodsky on the microphone, giving you some smoke news for the evening out here in this Wonderverse. This is episode 46 of an amazing run here on the Smoke Rings Network. So let's go. In the honor of Jack Hare, bringing out the truth the best we can, happening out in Illinois, we got Springfield, Telegraph.com. The state's first hemp harvest exceeds what farmers can market. When Illinois legalized hemp, planted in 2018, nearly 600 farmers began growing a plant that had not been cultivated since World War II. They had had high hopes, but in the short term, the boom has gone bust. Andy Houston, who began growing hemp in 2014 under the aegis of research, said that a lack of infrastructure, incomplete U.S. FDA guidelines, and the COVID-19 pandemic have put a damper on the industry as the prices plummeted from $40 a pound to $5 or $6. About half of those who planted last year have decided they cannot afford to do so again. Snags exist in both sides of the industry. Cultivation of CBD oil and the fiber sector, which is everything from textiles to concrete to byproducts used for cattle feed. Everything that's made out of plastic can be made out of hemp, he said. But hemp has to be cost competitive. My incompetence to say competitive, cost competitive with the plastic infrastructure, though, is set up to process plastic products, and a few, if any, companies are investing in hemp processing in a tight time. And while CBD oil is growing in popularity as a result for many things that ail you, Houston said the FDA is now looking at the oil as less as a supplement and more as a drug, limiting sales. Right now, we produce more than the retail market can handle until the FDA comes out with their guidelines and opens up the market a little. But he said he still expects hemp to boom eventually. Quote, it may take 3 or 4 years on the cyber end of it for that to get up and going with CBD market. If they open it up with the FDA, I could see that when they put those guidelines out, that's going to create a huge demand for CBD, end quotes. Next, from talkbusiness.net, former Agricultural Department Dustin McDaniel, elected to U.S. Hemp Authority Board, talk of business and politics. So, these new board members, four new board members, Dr. Mariel Weintraub, Joy Beckerman, Richard Barashiro, Jonathan Schell, Ron Cognier, and Nathan Gervat, industry leaders, DEA specialists, trustees, growers. The USHDA is designed to protect consumers, establish confidence in products, and incentivize best practices at all levels of production, distribution, and sales. The function is critical, and I am excited to help this emerging industry in my new capacity as a board member, McDaniel has said. The USHA's certification program is the hemp industry's initiative to provide high standards, best practices, and self-regulation, giving consumers and retailers confidence in hemp and CBD products. Farmers and processors, manufacturers, and brand owners who meet the program's rigorous standards, as determined by an independent third-party audit by Food Chain ID, the program's new administrator, are awarded a seal of certification. signaling to consumers that their products are worthy of their trust. McDaniel is also involved in Natural State Wellness Enterprises of Jonesboro, which was one of the five cultivation center applications chosen by Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission. Next, on Arkansas Online, after the first year, state hemp set to grow a bit. Written by Stephen Steed in May 2020, undaunted by mixed results of last year's inaugural industrial hemp crop, Arkansas growers and predecessors are returning to hemp fields and greenhouses this year and are being joined by a few newcomers. The Arkansas Department of Agriculture has increased licenses to 152 growers for this year, up from 125 for 2019. The department has issued licenses to 39 hemp processors, six more than last year. Licenses have been issued in 55 of the state's 75 counties, up from 51 years ago, as of late April. The deadline for growers to apply for licenses has paused, but the Agricultural Department will license processors throughout the year. Cottonmouth Caleb Allen, manager of the state's hemp program, said decisions on a few more applications for growers' licenses are pending. Caleb said he'd hoped and expected the number of growers and processors to be higher for this year. He attributed the lack of growth to farmers' concerns about federal rules that continue to govern the state's hemp program. Growers and processors also face a steep learning curve on what is essentially a new crop in the United States. Challenges have been many, those faced by the pioneers who, in the early 1900s, brought commercial rice production to the state, which is now the nation's top rice producer. The department's survey of hemp growers found that 94% of them lost money last year. They reported capital investments of more than $5.8 million. Total operating costs of $5.9 million, and sales to processors of nearly $846,000. They reported total gross income of $702,000, or on average, $3,266. Farmers planted 1,819 acres of hemp, but harvested just 883 acres. Spring rains generally hampered planting across the state, but it was the flooding of the Arkansas River that ruined the first crop of the Darnall hemp operation. We weren't able to plant again until late July, and that was too late to produce a good crop, said Terry Roston, a partner in Niboro High Mountain Hemp Company, who doesn't believe in knee-high by July. Hemp-eating caterpillars also hampered the crop, Roston said. If challenges of weather and insects weren't enough, 21% of growers told the Agriculture Department that they were the victims of thieves, confused the hemp plant for its close cousin, marijuana, or stole it to pass it off as marijuana. Marijuana medically was legalized in Arkansas in 2016 by the voters, but hemp lacks most of its chemical that creates a marijuana high. State and federal law requires industrial hemp be no higher than 0.3% in local tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC. Leafly, a cannabis industry newsletter, has reported on strains of marijuana with THC levels upward of 22%, but has not visited my clubs. The operation of Nebo Mountain, known last year as helping everyone make progress, has had four thefts. said Kindler Lancaster. The farm's other partner, a fifth one, was thwarted by the Yale County Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office on October 29th received a tip that thieves would go to Lancaster's operations where hemp plants had already been harvested and stored for drying, said Lieutenant Scott Moore. Four people jumped the gate of the fence that surrounded the business as five or six Yale County deputies awaited during an overnight stakeout of about 6 hours, Morris said. Quoted, they were adults who thought they were stealing medical marijuana. Quoted, it was 3 a.m. in the pouring down rain, a horrible time to be chasing criminals. But the sheriff and his deputies stood their ground, Lancaster said. The four were charged with commercial burglary and theft of property. Bail ranged from $5,000 to $50,000. Trials are pending and no one was shot. Local police really stepped in to help us out, Lancaster said. We've had a lot of great support from the state, the community, and law enforcement. The first two thefts of a dozen or so plants happened early in the growing season when the plants were only a few inches tall. Lancaster said some 135 plants were taken in two later thefts, resulting in a loss of some $40,000, she said. About half of those plants was recovered. It looks and smells like marijuana. To the untrained eye, you'd certainly think it was, but it's not, Lancaster said. She aims this year to work on an educational program to show the difference between medical marijuana and industrial hemp. Such a program could include opening farm to visitors. Despite the difficulties, Roston and Lancaster are invested in a facility in Clarksville to dry, store, and process hemp for farmers across the state. The Agricultural Department is still developing its plans for a commercial hemp crop for next year. It will have to be approved by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, approved by the Arkansas General Assembly, which won't meet in regular season until next year. The 2018 Farm Bill approved by Congress allowed hemp sales to the public and removed legal industrial hemp of up to 0.3% from the Federal Drug Enforcement's list of controlled substances. All right, next from CalCoastNews.com. San Luis Obispo County, California basically bans hemp cultivation. San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 on May 5th, 2020 to pass a hemp cultivation ordinance that requires 400-acre sites with 2,000-foot setbacks, which will put an end or a serious scale back every hemp grow that operated in the county last year, voicing concerns about heavy water usage and county enforcement staff's inability to regulate those violating regulations. Supervisor Debbie Arnold made a motion to also ban hemp in the Indah Valley, to ban growing hemp in hoop houses, and to require an additional 1,000-foot setback from urban reserve lines. Vineyard owners in the Edna Valley had voiced concerns that the terpenes from the cannabis plants could damage their crops, and the smell was overwhelming tasting rooms and events. Supervisor Bruce Gibson dissented, arguing that the county might as well just completely ban the crop because the ordinance is so restrictive. Both hemp and marijuana are cannabis plants, Cannabis hemp has a 0.3% or less THC, the intoxicant in cannabis, and usually sells for about one-fifth the price. The hemp market is currently stated with most local industrial hemp growers unable to sell last year's crop. While county staff tested local industrial hemp farms for THC content, state and local government agencies failed to provide an oversight for the cultivation of hemp used for research that left the door open for marijuana cultivators to operate unchecked as hemp growers. Multiple employees of local research hemp farms claim their bosses were planting several rows of hemp surrounding a larger crop of marijuana that was then sold on the black market. Nevertheless, county staff had proposed an ordinance with much smaller setbacks and property size requirements. Following the supervisor's approval of the restrictive hemp ordinance, Assistant Agricultural Commissioner Mark Leah noticed his surprise in an email to a group of hemp cultivators. Our department, quoted, had some issues with the proposed ordinance, but we thought that it was a reasonable approach and resented some compromises that would enable industrial hemp cultivation to get a foothold in San Luis Obispo County, end quote. Leah wrote in a May 5th email, quoted, for now, suffice it is to say that the board made serious changes to the proposed permanent hemp ordinance and added major restrictions. These were major changes which were certainly not expected and will essentially act as a prohibition, end quote. 3 days later, Leah sent a second email apologizing for the tone of his May 5th email and asked prospective growers to contact him. The board hearing went in a direction that he did not anticipate, and undoubtedly, it could have been more diplomatic, quoted, in my assessment of the situation in my previous email. Leah wrote on May 8th, if you have a growing location in mind and want us to make a preliminary determination of eligibility under the permanent ordinance rules, then we would be glad to do that, but we would likely need confirmation from county planning and building and possibly county council before we can make an official determination of a particular site's compliance with the permanent ordinance that was passed on Tuesday. San Luis Obispo, everybody. Okay. MorningSun.net. We got Pittsburgh. Commission considers backing hemp processing businesses. There we go. Oh, I like this mic. This mic is so great. It's so great. Oh, I like it. Dun, 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 dun. All right. All right, here we go. Doop, 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 doop. Pittsburgh. Industrial hemp has seen a rapid growth in Kansas since becoming legal in recent years. Oh, this is Pittsburgh, Kansas. Sweet. All right. I don't know. It's cutting bears. It's a 50-50 chance, right? Like, here's the other Pittsburgh. Industrial hemp has seen rapid growth in Kansas since becoming legal in recent years, but could soon be given an even greater boost in the southeast corner of the state. The Pittsburgh City Commission weighed the pros and cons Tuesday of providing support to a new business that is looking to bring cannabinol, that's CBD, processing to town before ultimately holding off on making a decision about whether to help finance the operation. Quoted, in light of our current economic climate, it's nice that we're still bringing projects where people are wanting to start new businesses and create new jobs here in Pittsburgh and Crawford County. Quoted Director of Economic Development, Blake Benson said in introducing the proposal, CBD is a chemical that can be extracted from cannabis sativa, otherwise known as hemp, which when grown differently with a focus on producing tetrahydrocannabinol is also as marijuana. CBD is a non-psychoactive, unlike its cousin THC. Quoted Colby Shreddy, who grew up in Frontiac and owns Sunflower Hemp Company, in his presentation to the Pittsburgh City Commission on Tuesday. On Tuesday, it was quoted, it was first isolated in 1940s, then further research was done. The largest study was done in the 1980s up until now. And then the study found that CBD helped out with seizures. Unfortunately, that study got pushed back because of the stigma associated with a kind of plant where this substance came from, unquoted. Today, however, Terleaf noted there is an FDA-approved CBD-based medication for treatment of certain seizure disorders on the market called Epidiolex. Kansas has legalized hemp cultivation in many years, first through a pilot program that began last year and is now moving towards a commercial program. And while some of the state's hemp growing had been to produce fiber from the plant, much of it is focused on CBD production. Sunflower Hemp Company is investing about $1 million to get its operation up and running. Terleaf aims to establish a 20,000 square foot good manufacturing practice certified facility on North Rotary Terrace in Pittsburgh, initially for refining crude CBD oil into extracts, such as tinctures and topical applications. He said his facility will be able to comply with current federal, state, and local regulations, and is prepared to comply with even further requirements that could soon be put in place. In response to a question from Mayor Don McNay, Terleaf discussed what it means to be a GMP certified. Major pharmaceutical brands, your Tylenols, Advils, stuff like that, is made in a GMP certified facility. Terleaf said, adding that his company is state licensed as a hemp grower, processing and distributor, feel that a lot of players in the game now that their facilities won't be able to pass these certifications inspection, Turnip said. So that will probably weed some people out when the FDA comes down with what's going to actually produce a product and put it out for human consumption in the retail space. Terleaf said his facility could also help farmers interested in hemp growing. So if anybody wants to get into hemp space as a farmer, we can provide an outlet for them to get their crop from seed to sale. Quoted, so a lot of farmers this past year or the years past have had problems getting their product to market or having a market for their product because they don't know where to go. So we can take their product, get it extracted. We can buy the crude oil that's extracted from their product, or we can provide another outlet for them to sell maybe a finished product. So we will have their resources. Those avenues for any farmer locally that wants to get into the space. Terleaf previously presented his proposal to the city's Economic Development Advisory Committee. Benson noted But because of coronavirus restrictions, the meeting was held via conference call that had technical difficulties. All right, and to finish this once, to do big business. All right, go on. Okay, next, Sierra News Online. Cash crop supervisors poised to okay new industrial hemp rules. This is Madera County, California, I believe. And the website, the Sierra what.com news. Okay, Sierra News, got that. This is by George Lure, May 11th. This is read to you on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, who has his super ADD going on right now with eyes to read, face to mouth to brain to speak. Speak, boy, speak. Hope you guys are enjoying yourself out there tonight. Here we go, Madera. The Madera County Board of Supervisors this week could okay a new recently revised ordinance regulating the growth of industrial hemp in the county. The effort to okay large-scale industrial hemp operations in Madera County has been underway for more than a year. While industrial hemp is already grown in the county on a limited basis, the new ordinance, Chapter 5.26 of Madera County's Industrial Hemp Agricultural Code, opens the door to significant larger expansion while establishing specific guidelines with regard to county liability, permitting, and enforcement. This is a cash crop, quoted, that Madera County can really make some money on, says District Supervisor 5, Tom Wheeler, said last year when this new ordinance was first being discussed. According to Madera County Agricultural Commissioner Seals Stevie McNeil, some industrial hemp farmers around the county are reportedly grossing as much as $50,000 an acre. By comparison, almonds gross almost $5,000 per acre. McNeil reported industrial hemp does not take any more water to grow than cotton or almonds, and it can yield two crops a year. Now, widely defined as an agricultural commodity, much of the new interest in industrial hemp is for its cannabinoid properties. CBD oil extract, already a multi-billion dollar a year industry, is used for therapeutic purposes and also is being infused into a variety of products, including lotions, ointments, drinks, snacks, and human and animal food supplements. Supervisor Wheeler is a big fan of CBD oil. Well, the stuff really works on my pain, he said earlier this year. The AG Commissioner's office has been working on updating county policy on industrial hemp since 2019. Last month, a set of proposed new regulations was pulled from supervisors' regular meeting agenda during the Farmers and Madera County Farm Bureau about concerns in specific language contained in the new ordinance. The most recent draft supervisors will review Tuesday states that the purpose and intent of the ordinance is to implement a program to regulate the cultivation of hemp in a responsible manner in order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of residents of the County of Madera and enforce rules and regulations consistent with the state and federal law. The staff reported supporting the ordinance supervisors are being asked to approve this week states, quote, the regulations that we put in place by the ordinance are rationally related to the county's interest in allowing the cultivation of industrial hemp while also mitigating the unique legal land use, environmental, and public health and safety issues associated with this particular agricultural commodity. regulations will also be applied consistently throughout the county and are designed to be no more restrictive than are necessary to adequately address the aforementioned issues. End quote. And then Madera County, to close this one off, they received 87 calls for service related to plantings of industrial hemp in the county. No one come. 46. Oh, and then yeah, and so get on their list or they'll arrest you. True. Elton Daily News. Hemp harvest exceeds what farmers can market. Written by Cole Lauterbach in Illinois. Radio Network. When Illinois legalized hemp planting in 2018, nearly 600 farmers began growing a plant that had not been cultivated since World War II. I read this one. Okay, let's jump over to Poland real quick. From hemptoday.net, Poland proposes Agriculture Ministry, Poland calls for 1% THC in hemp. 1%, oh my gosh. Poland's Ministry of Agriculture has recommended a full 1% THC allowable industrial hemp in a recent unveiled two-year government farming plan. The country will join nations in different parts of the world which have set allowable THC levels above the global prevalent barrier of 0.3% and 0.2% standard observed by most countries in Europe based on European Union guidance. The proposal pertains only to hemp in the field as measured for THC at harvest time. Quoted, "This is a welcome statement from the ministry and a nice step forward," says Jarek Karamaz, who represents Poland on the board of European Industrial Hemp Association, the EIHA. Despite the progress, Karamaz says the Polish government also needs to address the issue of THC limits for finished hemp products. Allowing greater limits in the field removes a level of risk for the farmers' crops that will be hot or over the THC limit, but it doesn't solve the fundamental issue of specific guidance for THC levels in finished food or food supplement products, he has said. Stakeholders in the European Union are currently lobbying for an increase from 4.2% to 0.3% in the field under an EIHA initiative. Kramaras said EIHA's strategy to revert to a limit of 0.3 THC, a benchmark that was in effect in Europe before being trimmed to 0.2% in 1999, in a prudent one considering the conservative nature of some EU governments, quoted, "We welcome any country that wants to push beyond what the EIHA is proposing, but we must take more conservative countries into account. The EIHA is more realistic to achieve the 0.3% concession from EU authorities. Hemp plants with higher THC levels generally contain higher levels of CBD. Nations observing the 1% standard therefore have a market advantage in that sector over those where limits are lower. Uruguay, South Africa, Malawi, and Thailand are among hemp-producing countries around the world who have set THC levels for hemp at a full 1%. Some states in Australia also operate under the limit. In Europe, non-EU member Switzerland has an established 1% barrier. EU member state Italy has set a national limit at 0.6%. EIHA's campaign to reclaim the 0.3% THC barrier would reset the clock to the 1990s. Before 1999, European stakeholders had operated at that benchmark, but the EU officials, ignoring facts and science, cut the limit to 0.2% under influence of powerful French hemp interests. Their successful lobbying efforts essentially gave French fiber hemp varieties, which had been bred for extremely low THC, a monopolistic advantage in the cultivation seed market. While raising the THC limit to a full 1% could strengthen Poland's position in the CBD sector, the government's plan stresses the country's potential in fiber, specifically for hemp textiles, a subsector in which Poland was once a significant European player. The ministry noted that current restrictive THC levels inhibit hemp agriculture in Poland, in part by discouraging the planting of Polish hemp varieties, many of which have great potential in fiber, but also carry traces of THC above 2 or 0.3%. When Polish crops come in above 0.2%, they must be destroyed under current laws. Under the new proposal, only hemp varieties that meet the 1% THC limit could be officially registered for cultivation in Poland, and only hemp that comes in under the current 0.2 European in the field guideline would be eligible for direct EU farm subsidies. The ministry's plan would streamline the value chain from farmers to processors. Clearly, defining fiber hemp and reducing administrative burdens related to the monitoring of hemp cultivation and trade. As part of the government's push for hemp, the Agriculture Ministry has asked the Ministry of Health to adjust provisions of the 2005 Act on counteracting drug addiction that negatively impact hemp farming and production. Hemp production in Poland had gradually ticked up over the past 5 years, with field reports estimating 3,000 hectares. That's 7,000 acres were planted last year, up from about 1,000 hectares, 3,000 acres in 2018. Meanwhile, a hemp program for Poland has been rolled out on through the government owned Institute for National Fibers and Medicinal Plants, the IWNIRZ, to advance Polish hemp interests. The IWNIRZ sells seeds to farmers and contracts to buy their crops. It also exports to Polish planting seed varieties. That's the IWNIRZ, the institute, which marks its 90-year anniversary this year, is one of the most well-known fiber research centers in the world. It started tapping into the commercial hemp markets for mid-decade, growing hemp for CBD and selling fibers for construction and other applications. Okay, let's see if this might be an update. No, this is the same. So that's the same thing about, in the search. Okay, next on Smoke News Radio, actual news 69, 42, episode 46. Hemp Industry Daily, to you by Jason Brodsky. Written by another human, edited by another human, titled Hemp Businesses Sue Two Oregon Counties for $2.5 million After Police Raid. an Oregon hemp business, is suing two counties on allegations that police seized legal hemp from its warehouse, then destroyed it. The Organized Hemp Company, LLC, a hemp farm and farm service contracting business based in Grants Pass, and owner Justin Pitts filed a $2.5 million lawsuit against Josephine and Jackson counties in U.S. District Court in Medford on Friday. But he claims that a police search on April 22nd at a greenhouse leased by the business in Williams, Oregon, violated civil rights and due process. According to the Mail Tribune about this search and raid, a search warrant served to the owner said the police were looking for marijuana, but did not authorize the seizure of industrial hemp. According to the lawsuit, Pitts claimed that during the raid, police from Josephine County and Jackson County seized at least 5,000 pounds of pot, not less than 2 million, which he said had THC concentrates at a below the federal legal limit of 0.3%, classifying it as legal industrial hemp. The lawsuit alleges police destroyed the hemp following the day under April 23rd to order filed in Josephine County Circuit Court, quoted, to cover up the fact that the counties had unlawfully taken OHC property. Wow. Wild stuff. What are we doing on time here? Oh, nice. Wow. Smoke News Radio people. Slapping it together. We got the video action going on Instagram. Jason Isaac Brodsky. It's ISAAC. And, I got to stretch for a minute. You know, I'm going to play a little song. Let's see what we got here. It's a nice thing to listen to. Because we got like 600 songs. This is also always a nice one. Might do some good Tuesday. Here you go.
So I really wanted to cover this song.
Got the club going night
on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she
Tuesday. I'm not muted.
On a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going night on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going night on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she chooses by going up. Body flipping packs now. I just did three in a row. I'm sure it's back to back to back now. Put the world on the sound. Ain't no party in the weekend. I ain't never got no time. Party on the weekend. Tell her bring the juice. We about to get lit. Build a room of wisdom, day. Night off and miss it, eh? Always working on day. Overtime and out of town. Steph is crazy back home. It kills me that I'm not around. I think we get into day. Talking might be too true. Upstairs, guys dancing in Advil bottle. I don't take a step, but you do. So I got them for you. I don't need the pills. I'm just gonna have another drink. And when I'm putting working on a weekend, I look back on missing things. How we have the club going up on Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she chooses. Going up on Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she chooses. living hard. Made at least 3,000 on the boulevard. I've been working graveyard shifts every other weekend. I ain't never got no time. Party on the weekend. I've been flipping in the house, making drugs on the highway. I've been riding out of state, making money like my way.
Sticky, sticky.
So I got sting. My PO think I'm in a house. Don't really care what she thinks. Cause we got the club growing up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cat and she choosy. Club growing up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cat and she choosy. Club growing up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cat and she
So I recorded this on my iPhone randomly. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Smoke News Radio right here. Two men and women arrested. Meth in a port entry. 31 pounds of marijuana discovered in dog food bags. Brought to you by NNY360.com. Red T right here. Smoke News Radio. Live and direct. You know, just doing what I gotta do. There we go. Two Canadian residents here in Messina were charged with possession of just over 31 pounds of marijuana that was concealed. And dog food bags. Friday evening at the Messina port of entry. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials said the marijuana had an estimated street value of 60 grand. They said the driver, 31-year-old unidentified Native American female, indicated during the primary investigation that she was taking her passenger, an unidentified 35-year-old Native American female, to her mother's house in New York. Officials said the officer continued the primary investigation, and while performing a cursory trunk examination, found four large bags of dog food that emanated a strong odor of marijuana. A release from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection stated the marijuana was discovered during the subsequent inspection of the dog food bags. Officers also allegedly found a small amount of personal use marijuana and one female and 1.2 grams of cocaine on the other. They were processed by the Customs and Border Protection officers and were turned over to state police along with the narcotics. But the driver faces felony charges, criminal possession of marijuana, and the passenger faces felony charges of criminal possession of a controlled substance.
recorded. Our CBP officers utilized their keen observational analysis skills, which led to the discovery of illicit narcotics. Unquote, Messina Port Director Dewey said in the statement. Though our continued strong partnership with the New York State Police, this driver in possession of narcotics was removed from our streets, of our community. All right, next from mlive.com. Smoke to you on Smoke News Radio. Smoke News Radio. I'm so stoked. We've got the two dual broadcast, and I'm hoping that the levels are good for all both of them, or it's just like no one can hear anything. It's just like we just see Jason moving around. He's moving around on the screen and on the blog talk side. Like, he looks funnier. Cause we don't see anything. Okay. I've had like 10 seconds left. All right, 8 minutes left. We got enough time for more. Okay, sheriff gets new canine because old one was trained to sniff out pot. From Oceana County, Michigan, Krieger, the Oceana County sheriff canine, is so good at what he does, he has had to back off a bit on his duties. The German Shepherd's role included sniffing out illegal drugs. The trouble is marijuana is no longer illegal, but Krieger's nose still thinks it is. So fun at parties. Quoted, "We just can't turn that off," said Oceana County Sheriff's Craig Mast. Enter Laz, the Belgian Malinois, who will now be joining the sheriff's office next month, and its new drug-sniffing canine. Laz has no problem with pot, and so he will take over drug enforcement duties from Krieger. Having drug canines that are trained to alert on marijuana has become a liability for enforcement agencies throughout Michigan, Mass has said. Trouble comes when law enforcement uses a drug dog's action to secure a search warrant. He said his biggest concern is if force becomes necessary to execute a search warrant, then officers discover that marijuana is the only illegal substance present. That's a huge liability, and it's a risk that we're not willing to take. Krieger, who is now age 4, will remain with the department as a tracking dog, but his fantastic nose has tracked down a domestic violence suspect just last week. His kind mentality has also made Krieger a favored guest in schools, libraries, and the like, where he's one of the Oceana County Sheriff's Department's best ambassadors. He's got a bit of a following around here. We just can't employ him during a drug investigation. Krieger will continue to live with his handler, Sergeant Cam Hansen. Laz will move in with them when he arrives in mid-May, Master said. Laz, who is 2, is coming from Magnum K9 in Quincy, where he is now being trained to search for narcotics, not marijuana, and other articles, find lost peoples and fellow officers. Magnum K9, which is familiar with Hansen and the liability Krieger presented as a drug dog, offered Laz to the sheriff's office for $6,000, which is half what he normally would cost. This is a tool we very much need, he said. The drug scene has gotten any better in Michigan, West Michigan, or Oceana County. Methamphetamine is crazy. There's meth everywhere. There's heroin everywhere. There's opiates everywhere. Quoted some cop, Laz, in Michigan. So he got his drug dogs That's your drug dog. Careful, drugs are raining from the sky. This is really fun. You know, I don't mean that. You guys are rocking. Just be nice to the dogs. Don't shoot growers' dogs. It's a whole nother article. It's ready to go out here. Okay, great, great. Okay. Okay, so we got a minute of Jason nonsense. Like, hasn't been 60 minutes of Jason nonsense before I get the other sound thing going on. Okay. So that's been broadcast. Wait, which one am I running? Okay, that goes there. That goes there. Dude, this is so stoked. So basically, I don't have a mirror. Pull up a mirror. Guys, I looked at this thing. I tried to make this thing charge. It's not charging. Didn't do its thing. I mean, this could. No, anyhow, 3 second charge and boot. We got like the tablet with the other phone strapped to it. I think barely going up and down. So I'm really stoked. Somehow get the words up on. Where's the camera? Camera? There's the camera. Okay, over down in the bottom. If I could have the words going, that'd be sweet. But I guess I got other people commenting. They put their goon in there. So, didn't have the other computer to do a PHP script and then just like be able to send you gotta have PHP going to be able to send it straight live. So here we go. Jason Brock, your host, Smoke News Radio. Thank you. We get to go into even more rock and rolling. Smoke Rules Radio, check it out Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio. Smoke Rings, Jack Hair Initiative, Forever, Worldwide. Much love, everybody. There we go. Jack Johnson in the house.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. That it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.